Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bose. In this episode, we're going to discuss the work of romance maestro Aditya Chopra.
First up, Amitabh Bachchan and Shah Rukh Khan face off in 2000's Mohabbatein.
Then Shah Rukh Khan goes to great lengths to cheer up Anushka Sharma in 2008's Rabni Banadi Jodi.
And finally, Ranveer Singh and Vani Kapoor romp around Paris in the recently released Befikre. Welcome back, lovers. We are getting this episode out about a week and a half later than we planned. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it being, you know, this time of year, the holiday season, we have been very busy. Mm-hmm. These films were also on the lengthier side.
Two of them, anyway.
Yeah. Two of them were. And also, you and I both got hit by sickness.
Yeah, you might hear a few coughs this episode. I'll try and get them all, but yeah. We've not been super well.
We've both been sick at different times.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's been hard to find time to get this episode out. But we're here, and actually we're going to be talking about three films as opposed to the two that we said we were going to talk about, because it's a week and a half since Befikre has come out. So
yeah, we were able to catch it.
Throwing that on.
Catch it in theaters.
Yeah.
Short version, I liked it.
Okay, well, more on that later. So the man of the hour is Aditya Chopra, one of the most powerful men in the Bollywood film industry, in the Indian entertainment industry, and in the worldwide film industry.
Yeah, yeah. It's if you're big in Bollywood, you're big in film.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah. He is the son of Yash Chopra, the brother of Uday Chopra, the cousin of Karan Johar, and he's husband to Rani Mukherjee.
Oh, so he's somewhat connected, you might say.
Yes. We love Rani Mukherjee. We've been told by a few listeners that we don't talk about her enough. So in the new year, we're planning an episode on Rani Mukherjee because we do love her.
We also have to do an episode on 1970s angry young man Amitabh Bachchan. Mm-hmm. That's what I was told to do. Mm. And one focusing exclusively on Muslim people, which I think is a great idea.
Okay,
so we'll do that too.
So many episodes for the new year.
We don't have to think of any ideas anymore. People just give them to us, so it's good.
Sweet, thank you. He is the chairman of Yash Raj Films, and there he produces many of their movies and essentially serves as creative director. Mm-hmm. He started out as an assistant director on his father's films, Yash Chopra. And he wrote and directed DDLJ at 23, Matt.
Holy shit. That's really impressive.
He
cast his struggling cousin Karan Johar in the film as Rocky? I think that's his name?
I don't think he was struggling. His up and coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And Uday Chopra and both Karan Johar were involved in that production as assistants and whatnot. They all shared kind of a love for Bollywood, and he roped them into joining the industry with him. Mm-hmm. DDLJ being Diwali Dilhani Lajayenga, which we have a whole episode on and is, I would say, one of the most quintessential Bollywood movies there is.
Yeah, check out that episode. We're not going to talk about it again here, but its shadow will probably lie over these three movies, mm-hmm. I'd say.
As it lies over Bollywood.
Yeah.
He went on to unprecedented success as a producer at YRF, and he built YRF into a studio. Mm-hmm. So before Aditya Chopra and Yash Raj, a lot of film producers in India kind of work as mom and pop, smaller businesses.
Or in the case of Mehboob Khan, going around and asking farmers for a rupee each to fund Mother India. Which I think that's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
Just real, what socialist filmmaking would have looked like, right?
But Aditya Chopra has really ushered in the studio era that we're seeing now. And Yash Raj is one of the most powerful producers and studios in India. And they built their own studio to film their films in. He is also relatively reclusive. Not comfortable in the spotlight, not comfortable with the media. There's speculation that he has, you know, anxiety problems, but I don't know. He's a good businessman, so.
If I ran a multi-million-dollar studio, I'd probably have some anxiety problems, too. Side note, if you're interested in running movie studios, might I suggest another podcast, The Secret History of Hollywood. Check it out. They're doing a really long arc on the founding and early years of Warner Brothers, and it's fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Side note over.
Okay. Do you have anything to say about Aditya Chopra, Matt, before we get into his subsequent three films? He's only made four movies. So at
Well, he's only directed four
movies. Yes, sorry.
He's produced a bunch.
He's produced many. He's also written many, including his father's last film, Jab Takai John. He is responsible for the Doom series. He is responsible for Ek the Tiger. Yeah, unprecedented success. His movies are in the list of the highest grossing Bollywood films of all time.
Yeah, he does kind of have that ambitious producer feel that I don't think you see too much in Hollywood anymore. Usually if you're... if you're an ambitious producer type now, you're either coming from some other portion of the business, like you run TV, or you're like Kevin Feige with the Marvel movies or something. But here, it is that kind of old-timey, I'm a producer, I get shit done, and then he directs movies on the side.
He's also been injecting new blood into the Bollywood film industry, both on-screen and off-screen talent. So he's brought in a lot of new and upcoming directors into Yash Raj, Kabir Khan being one of them, Mani Sharma, who has now also started producing films at Yash Raj, and a lot of actors and actresses. You know, he gave their first...
Anushka Sharma.
Yes. He gave Anushka Sharma her first shot, Ranveer Singh. He did Deepika Padukone's second film. Ranbir Kapoor's second film, there's an investment at Yash Raj in new talent. And, you know, while they work with the established stars, Amir Khan, Shah Rukh Khan,
Salman Khan,
there's also a lot of new talent that they're trying to develop. And they're also are invested in smaller, more independent films and giving them opportunities to be made and screened in India and across the world. So, fascinating studio that I'm sure...
Something for everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Fascinating studio that I'm sure we will return to in a future episode. But Aditya Chopra is kind of the man behind all this. And additionally, he's directed four of his own films.
I love the sort of intro music at the beginning of a YRF movie. The... it's pretty good. It's not quite as good as Dharma.
I think my favorite is Phantom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who say? Phantom.
I also have a fondness for UTVs with the, I believe it's UTVs, where the...
the color thing, right?
Yeah, we're kind of like the silhouetted people are dancing around with silks, which many people have pointed out to me is like a vintage CTV logo treatment.
Yeah.
I really like it.
For our international fans, the Canadian television channel CTV has the same color scheme as UTV, and I think they've done a similar thing with like the waves of color. My favorite UTV one is where the lady's hand pulls the colors across like a table. That one's cool.
Oh, Sanjilila Bansalis.
Yes, I like that one.
Yeah, and then he makes the swan, yeah.
No. For UTV, where the lady pulls the three colors across the table, just... doing three things.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Bonsali making the swans cool, too.
Yeah. Sorry, and, I was thinking of the sand thing.
And I guess I like the Red Chili's sort of CGI logo. Are there any other ones? The one and grandson. A long word starting with N and grandson.
Yeah.
I think they did Dishoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. All right, we'd have to look that up. Logo reviews.
This has been a fun episode of the show, and thank you very much for listening.
All right. All right. So, yeah, that, in a nutshell, is who Aditya Chopra is. Important name to know if you're interested in the Bollywood film industry.
Yeah, you've probably seen something that he's had a hand in, if you've seen any Bollywood movies the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah, and when we first got into Bollywood, we gravitated heavily towards YRF because there's a certain kind of, like, sleek production quality to them.
Yeah, yeah. Especially these three.
Mm-hmm.
They are colorful and wonderful looking all the time. You get, the money's on the screen.
Yeah. All right. Well, that leads us into Aditya Chopra's second film, Mohabbateen, or Love Stories from 2000.
Another side note. For those of you who use Letterboxd, don't you hate how when you look up, for instance, Mohabbateen, it actually comes up as Love Stories? Like, it's so Anglo-centric. It comes up as whatever the English translation is, if it was released under that.
Oh, interesting.
So, Rodney Banerjee Jodi, for instance, was not released as something else in English.
Oh.
It was always released as Rodney Banerjee Jodi.
Yeah.
But Mohabbateen must have been released in North America as Love Stories. So, on my list of what movies we watch for the podcast, it's in there as Love Stories. If you're wondering in the alphabetical list on our letterbox, which I highly hope you should check out, if you're wondering why it's not under M, it's under L, that's why.
That's interesting. I wonder when they started releasing Bollywood films under their Hindi titles in North America, because we also saw that with Hum Dil to Chuke Sanam was released as Straight from the Heart.
Yeah.
But I believe Sawaria was released as Sawaria here.
So it's like 5 years after Mohabbateen.
Yeah.
Well, Lagan was released as Lagan, but it's got the English subtitle.
Right.
But I think it might have had that English subtitle back in India, right?
Hmm.
Once Upon a Time in India?
These are things we have to research another day.
Yeah, and that's, I think it's actually kind of cool that Once Upon a Time in India, we talked about that in our Lagan episode, but that is kind of setting the table for what the movie's like. But Mohabbateen, Love Stories, pretty generic title, but
yeah,
that's sort of what the word means anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and possibly my problems with the movie start there. But so Mohabbateen comes out in 2000, stars Amitabh Bachchan, Shah Rukh Khan, Aishwarya Rai, and debuts of Jimmy Shergill, Jugal Hansraj, Uday Chopra, the aforementioned brother, Shamita Shetty, Kim Sharma, and Preetu Jangani, and also features Amrish Puri, Shefali Shah, Anupam Kher, which you didn't believe me that he was in the movie.
When he first showed up, he did not look like himself. And then
he's got these bullshit overalls on. And
he's
if you know anything about me, like, you should stop wearing overalls when you're five. Just regardless of who you are or your social condition, unless you're a house painter or maybe a Mario brother, you should stop wearing overalls all the time.
I'm going to point out that, like, Vani Kapoor in Beffa Gray has, like, a really cute, like, overall dress, and you did not have a problem with it.
I actually really liked the way she looked in that, but I think maybe I was thinking about other outfits and not the
overalls.
Yeah. Okay. And also, Helen is in this movie.
Yes.
We should really do an episode about her. She's an interesting person.
Yeah, Helen is fascinating. Yeah. And I love her character here.
Yeah. So this is the first time that Amitabh Bachchan and Shah Rukh Khan were on screen with each other.
Yeah.
Which, Bachchan makes a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And Shah Rukh Khan made a lot of movies. I don't think he makes that many now. Not quite as many. But,
well, he would have had three releases this year if Rais had released.
Yes. But Amitabh Bachchan, what, kicks out five or six movies a year?
Yeah, he's in a lot
He's not always, like, a main character, but he's always yeah. in a movie.
He had at least two this year, Teen and Pink.
And he's in Wazir.
Oh, and Wazir. Yeah, he did have three this year. You're right.
Yeah, he's in a lot of movies. And it is sort of weird that they hadn't been in a movie before.
Well,
2000.
This is actually came out at a really low point in Amitabh Bachchan's career. He was near bankruptcy. He was broke.
Huh.
His production company was not doing well, and his star had significantly faded. And
was this when he was still a politician, too? He's such an interesting guy.
I don't know, but this is where he makes the transition from, you know, that young, well, not young, but that angry male hero to more of a...
old guy.
Older,
yeah.
Wiser, grandfather-like figure.
A éminence grise.
Exactly. And it's a... So he contacted Yash Chopra, and Yash Chopra connected him with his son Aditya Chopra. And this movie launched kind of the career that we see that Amitabh Bachchan has now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting. We got to do an episode on him. Just
or several.
We could do the different decades of him because he's going so long that his career changes every time. And I'd like to talk about his political stuff, too. Yeah. That'd be really cool.
But this is definitely...
And we could talk about the one where he's a ghost in politics, too.
This is definitely where you see a significant shift in his career.
Okay. So the movie did really well. Critical and box office success.
Mm-hmm.
And won 4 Filmfare Awards, including the Critics Award Best Actor for Khan and Best Supporting Actor for Bachchan. It's great. Everyone did it.
Yeah, did it, and gang. It is long.
This movie's long.
This movie is long. And you know what?
You know, I sat through 5 out of the 5.5 hours of Gangs of Wasseypur, and, you know, I fell asleep for the last half. I watched it later. Yes, it did own, but I was tired.
Yeah.
This is almost 4 hours long. We had to take a break.
We had to take 2 breaks.
Yeah, this
we
was a tough
this
one.
We watched this in, like, 3 chunks.
This was a tough one. Even compared to DDLJ, which is the Aditya Chopra-directed film that immediately precedes this, I felt that the pacing was so off in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, DDLJ, you have that nice break point between Kajol and Shahrukh in Europe, meeting each other, having romantic adventures, and then the second half is her wedding.
Yeah, well, in this movie, they're falling in love, yeah. And then the courting the parents. Those are 2 really distinct sections that work really well.
And
together.
In this movie, there is nothing like that. Beth McRae does that pretty well. You know, mild may vary on that. But it does have a definite break in the story. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ravni Banodijodi does as well. It's closer to this, where it's the same story that's just long.
This isn't even just the same story that's long. It's just multiple stories, and none of them are interesting.
Well, let me describe what they are.
Okay.
So, in Mohabbateen, Amitabh Bachchan runs a school called Gurukul.
Which I think we're supposed to believe is in India, but it was clearly shot in England.
Yes, and in some scenes it looks very cold. Because you could see the steam rising out of people's mouths, and especially when Shahrukh and Aishwarya Rai are dancing in nighttime. Yeah, that's cold out. That's below zero, so, you know, respect.
And there's a lot of leaves blowing around in the air.
There's leaves in every scene, regardless of if it's summer or maybe it's fall the whole movie. I don't know.
There's a lot of leaves blowing around, including some, like, CGI transition leaves. And a lot of them look like maple leaves. Yeah,
that was also really weird.
This isn't Canadian.
In the typeface for this movie, there is a line with a maple leaf on it. And, you know, as Canadians, we think it has something to do with Canada. We didn't think that, but, it's just weird to see that iconography outside of our country.
Yeah, I don't know if it's 100% a maple leaf. It certainly looks like a maple leaf. And also, there aren't even maple trees in England either.
Anyway, minor nitpick aside, they should break those leaves, though. Anyway, so Amitabh Bachchan runs the Gurukul, which I think is a junior college. That would be my guess as to what it was. We were wondering what it was because it's not a high school.
No.
Everyone there is like 19, 20 years old, even though they look like they're 30. And they are there for an indeterminate amount of time. But then they go off to great fame and success in their chosen fields because Gurukul is the best school to go to.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty similar to the school in Student of the Year. Or
I thought that was high school in Student of the Year.
Or to Hogwarts.
It is very Hogwarts. It is that English boarding school tradition, right?
Yeah.
So we have 3 young men join the school. I'm not going to look up their names. I know one of them is Uday Chopra.
Yeah, and then
it's
Jimmy
Shergill, and is it Jugal Hansraj is the other guy? Yeah, I'm not looking at the characters' names.
Yeah, that's fine.
But 3 guys become fast friends while waiting around at the train station.
Yeah.
In probably the funniest scene in the whole movie, how they fall asleep at the train station waiting for the next guy to show up. And they're all sort of dressed like Shahrukh. The one guy is. He's got the leather jacket. He's getting off the train.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the hat with the feather in it from DDLJ. But I think this is a very deliberate transition from the train leaving in DDLJ to arriving here.
That's a good point.
I think he's trying to link it to his earlier very, very successful movie that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, these three guys join the Gurukul, which has very strict rules about leaving campus, having jobs on outside of the campus, and having girlfriends, basically.
Yeah, ultimately, the biggest rule is...
Never fall in love.
Yeah, if you fall in love, you will be kicked out, they won't allow you in any other school, and your life will be ruined.
Oddly enough...
The school is against love.
Oddly enough, this is a similar rule to those imposed by the characters in Benfica, but we'll get to that later. Anyway, these three guys obviously fall in love with... random village girls.
They're not entirely random village
girls. So Uday Chopra falls in love with a girl from the girls' college down the way.
Yeah.
She kind of reminded me of Sporty Spice a little bit, just kind of wearing those sort of crop top athletic things.
Yeah.
Like if a sports bra was a shirt, she wears those.
She has a lot of tops that are like crop tops and like shockingly backless, and somehow, like, I don't know how her tits are supported. I really don't.
We put a lot of effort into wondering about the tits in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, not that I was ogling her. It's just I was trying to figure out, like, what was holding her up because, like, she's got no backs to any of her shorts.
You had a scientific sort of engineering interest in her tits. You know, I was just normal interest.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, that's who Uday Chopra hooks up with. She's sporty, athletic, loves dancing. That's her character trait.
They're the best couple because they have the hate to love.
Yes.
You know, she really hates Uday Chopra at first, and then he wins her over with his sexy, sexy dancing.
Although,
and the intensity between the two of them.
There is a rich girl, poor guy thing at play, but they do meet while she's just stealing some apples that are sitting on the Gurukul, like, they're out in the lawn.
Is she supposed to be well off?
I did not, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, her dad is like this rich industrialist. And then Uday Chopra says, yeah, well, my dad is even more rich industrialist. So now we should date.
Right.
But she starts off just stealing stuff from Gurukul. And this is never addressed ever. Like,
she has to get her kicks, Matt.
Uday Chopra finds her and he's like, oh, I found the love of my life stealing some stuff. Never ask her why. Probably for the best. That would be an awkward conversation.
Okay.
Jimmy Shergill... he's the guy who's poor. Uday Chopra's also poor, but
yeah.
Shergill's character is very poor, and his father has died, so he has to go get a job off campus off of the Gurukul campus. And he falls in love with a village girl that he knew when he was younger.
Yeah.
She has a boyfriend. He
doesn't appreciate her.
He's some rich tool, basically, has parties at his house. That's that one. And then the other guy falls in love with a girl who dramatically waits at the train station for her husband to come back. Her husband's in the army, and he's died. No, he's in the Air Force. Her husband's in the Air Force just like his father was. And she dramatically waits around.
That's Jimmy Shergill.
Oh, that's Jimmy Shergill.
Yeah. Yeah. Jugal Hansraj plays the guy who's in love with his childhood friends.
Yeah. Okay. So Jugal Hansraj plays the guy who works at Anupam Kher's weird cafe. And then Jimmy Shergill is the one who meets the girl at the train station. Their meet cute is pretty good because he figures out, sort of creepily, that she works at a children's hospital. So he keeps injuring himself, specifically by cutting the palms of his hands on glass. And then he has to go and she bandages him up. And that's okay one time, but then he does it on the other hand, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, I feel like she cottoned on to what he was doing pretty early.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys. They have these romances. And to us, what was the main meat of the story, and I'm pretty sure this is why people like it, is the interplay between Amitabh Bachchan and Shah Rukh Khan.
Mm-hmm.
So Shah Rukh Khan shows up, I don't know, about an hour into the movie. It takes a while for him to show up.
30 minutes to an hour, yeah.
Yeah, and he is a music teacher who's hired to work at the Gurukul. And he
but
has,
he secretly wants to teach his students about love.
Yes. He kind of wants the Dead Poets' Society, his students, into enjoying love affairs and thinking about things and learning about music. And Amitabh Bachchan, very much like the town council of Footloose, is opposed to this. There is a battle between the two. And you find out that they also have a woman in common, yeah. Aishwarya Rai, who was in love with Shah Rukh Khan and was also Amitabh Bachchan's daughter. Amitabh Bachchan kicks Shah Rukh Khan out of the Gurukul originally because he found out that he was dating a girl, specifically his own daughter. And then she kills herself.
Yeah.
So they are...
There's a dark backstory.
Yeah. Which is much more interesting than the story that we actually get of the modern day.
Why does Amitabh Bachchan hate love so much?
Well, I mean... You could argue that it is the reason why his daughter died.
Right.
But...
He hates love before that.
He had the rule that you couldn't have a girlfriend or boyfriend. Well, you couldn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Presumably, same-sex relationships at Gurukul. As long as you don't leave school grounds or get a job outside of school, you know, go for it, right?
Yeah.
It's not mentioned, but presumably, if you're gay, Gurukul's perfectly fine. Apart from English boarding school type bullshit, but like...
As long as you don't get caught.
Maybe. As long as you don't get caught, but, you know, they do all kinds of things and not get caught.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does have this rule going in. I thought we were going to learn maybe that his wife died under some circumstances, because she's definitely out of the picture, even while Aishwarya Rai is still alive. And maybe her death made him want to become the best school principal in the world or something. And maybe he was too busy being in love... To do some, I don't know. I have no idea. He yeah. really just has an anti-love policy.
Yeah, we don't really understand why. Anupam Kher also has a love story going on that mostly serves as comic relief.
Stupid overalls.
Amrish Puri and Shefalia Shah play the young widow's father-in-law and I guess sister-in-law.
Yeah, Amrish Puri coming off... the epic slapping that he gave Shah Rukh in DDLJ.
Yes.
And heart pulling out of Temple of Doom.
Yes. And Helen is the headmistress of the girls' college. And she is a delight.
Yeah, I would have
seen that she's in
the movie. I would have liked to see a lot more of the girls' college.
Yeah.
I think this movie would be more fun if it focused on the school aspect in a way that Student of the Year, a few years later, goes on to do really well.
Yeah. This film comes across as really dated, too. It has, like, a very late 90s, early 2000s aesthetic, both in the fashions, certainly in the fashions.
You mean the polo sport that Uday Chopra wears incessantly?
Yeah, there's a lot of frosty lipsticks, too, and, like, really short skirts and dresses with, like, a little, like, side slit.
It reminds me of, like, an NSYNC video.
Yeah.
This is the aesthetic they were going for.
Yeah. But I also think that, like, the narrative is rather dated as well. Whereas DDLJ, I think there still kind of feels modern and vital.
DDLJ is not that far of a story from Befikre, really.
No. This feels really stuffy.
Yeah.
And it's just weighed down by all of these stories that we don't care about.
Yeah, I know this movie is very popular, and I'm sorry, but as I was watching it, I was wondering what Indian Harry Potter would be like, because I feel like Amitabh Bachchan would be an amazing Severus Snape.
Yeah.
And in my head, I cast Shah Rukh as Sirius Black. I think Shah Rukh would be a really good version of Harry's uncle, who leaves him all the money and the mansion.
Right.
That's who I would cast Shah Rukh as.
Okay.
Who would you cast in some Harry Potter Bollywood version?
I'm not too sure. But the only...
Tell us, listeners, if you could think of some people to be in the Bollywood remake of Harry Potter, which I think should exist. I think that would be great. I don't care if all the people playing them are way older. Like, make it so that it's like an accelerated program in Indian Hogwarts. Like, it's Varun Dhawan is Harry Potter.
The only couple I ever really cared about in this were Shah Rukh Khan and Aishwarya Rai.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have decent chemistry, even though she's a ghost most of the time.
And she barely says anything.
But there's something about the two of them
And it's not just because they're Shah Rukh Khan and Aishwarya Rai, and they're clearly, like, extremely attractive people with lots of charisma, but there's something about the chemistry between the two of them that feels genuine when nothing else in this movie does.
They're the only people who haven't just met each other.
Yeah.
So
It feels like there's a real connection there.
Well, their relationship is somewhat lived in.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else just met.
Yeah.
Or knew each other when they were little kids or whatever.
The film does, however, have some fantastic dance sequences.
Yes.
Yeah.
If anything, that is the redeeming feature of the film.
Yeah. They get a lot of mileage out of having this big cast. So there's a scene where we are transported to Switzerland and you see all of the young couples, you know, falling in love and going on dates and stuff, and Shah Rukh Khan and Aishwarya Rai are kind of watching them all fall in love. There's another, like, big dance when the girls from the girls' college come to the boys' college, and that's where Helen gets to bust a move, and that's delightful. There's another good one in the street, kind of at the climax, when all the couples are coming together, and Shah Rukh Khan and Amitabh square off for the
holy
last time.
Dance is really good.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of, like, the dance sequences have a lot of energy. It's just everything in between the dance sequences I just found really tedious.
There's Farah Khan doing the choreography. And now that I've seen this movie, I feel like the joke in Om Shanti Om, where Shah Rukh Khan is up for 2 Filmfare Awards, and he's doing the same thing in Switzerland both times. He's just got a different sweater around his neck. I feel like I get that joke now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's dated, and I just don't think that it has a lot to offer.
Yeah, I mean, I know this one is pretty beloved, but it just didn't work on me.
No.
And like DDLJ, it is one of those movies that people would watch, you know, as they were young, but, you know, it didn't hook me at all.
But I think there's a reason why this doesn't have the same rewatchability and cult following that DDLJ does, or Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham has.
Yeah. Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham is way campier.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more over the top. And
Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham
this one just kind of laid there.
Yeah. Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham feels dated in, like, a really fun way, really comfortable way, like a throwback way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's campier. It's just, it nails the connections between the characters better.
There aren't as many characters, too. You don't need 3 modern-day love stories.
No.
Because apart from Uday Chopra, who I think I maybe just like because he was in Doom, like, the other two guys are relative non-entities. Mm-hmm. Their characters are boring. Who cares about those guys?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy
you know nothing about these people.
Jimmy Shergill's gone on to do some stuff, but he's not.
But you know nothing about these characters. They all show up tabula rasa.
Mm-hmm.
One guy knew a girl when he was little, but he didn't have the guts to tell her. The other guy sees a girl at the train station. That's it.
Yeah.
That's really all the characterization you get. They're just, you know, bland 25-year-old hero.
And ultimately, like, I don't understand Amitabh Bachchan's motivation, and I think that's a big problem in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I mean, the movie is 3 hours and 40 minutes long. You could have spent 5 minutes just saying, well, love killed my family, and I devoted myself to my studies because, that's all I had left.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the film's notable for, you know, for putting Shah Rukh Khan and Amitabh Bachchan on screen together.
I would like to see them fight or something, or, you know, have something more than just kind of angrily talking to each other in the principal's office a bunch of times.
But outside of that completionist sense of, you know, wanting to catch all of the big Bollywood films, I don't think this one has much to offer.
Didn't do anything for us, but I'm sure lots of people like it.
Well, that takes us to Interval, and we are going to be playing a song from our next film, Ram Ne Bana Di Jodi.
And what's that song, you might ask? Well, it's Fir Malenge Chate Chate, a tribute to 50 years of Bollywood movies, and probably my favorite sequence of the whole movie.
Yes.
So, enjoy.
छोड़िए छलिया जाए कहाँ माना दिल तो है अनाड़ी ये आवारा ही सही अरे बोल राधा बोल संगम होगा के नहीं हर जन्म में रंग बदल के ख्वाबों के पर्दों पे हम खिलते हम है राही प्यार के फिर मिलेंगे चल
That was Fir Malenge Chate Chate from Rob Nibbana Di Jodi, which means a match made by God.
Yes. Now, I find Mohabbatina slog, but Rob Nibbana Di Jodi is an absolute delight.
And I feel like the critics at the time thought the exact opposite on both of these, because everyone seemed to really like Mohabbatina, but Rob Nibbana Di Jodi had a more rockier critical reception?
No, it was also well-received, generally.
Well,
by
it's
critics.
Weird, because people we talk to online about it don't seem to like it.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe its reputation has gone down somehow.
Maybe. At the time, it was Shah Rukh Khan's most profitable film.
Mm.
And it was one of the largest international releases for a Bollywood film at the time. It came out in, I think it was about 300 screens internationally.
Wow.
Just to show you kind of how far we've come in 8 years, Befer Grey has been released in double, if not triple, that internationally.
Hmm.
I really, really enjoy this one. So it stars Shah Rukh Khan as this this everyday guy.
Surinder.
Yeah, who works at a power company.
Punjab Power.
And he goes to visit his mentor and his teacher's daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
While there, he instantly falls in love with the bride-to-be, Anushka Sharma.
Kind of an awkward thing to do, but it worked out for well for him in the end, but not so well for her.
Unfortunately, tragedy strikes, and while her groom, she's having a love marriage, is on the way to the wedding, him and his entire family are killed in a car crash. And immediately, her dad falls ill and dies of a heart attack.
I'm imagining a Sweet Hereafter-style bus crash, actually.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of people, and,
it is.
I think we maybe get a cutaway to something, or we don't see anything of this crash.
Yeah. On his deathbed, he asks Anushka Sharma if she will marry Shah Rukh Khan, and conversely asks Shah Rukh Khan if he will marry Anushka Sharma, because he needs someone to take care of her now that he's going to be gone. They both willingly agree to be married. Shah Rukh Khan's totally smitten with Anushka Sharma, but Anushka Sharma's absolutely, she plays Tani. Tani is absolutely devastated. She goes into the marriage willingly, but she tells Shah Rukh Khan that she will never love him.
That's pretty harsh.
It's
a real bummer to start off
harsh,
the movie.
But he takes understanding.
Yeah.
He's understanding, and he gives her a lot of space to work through her grief, and really doesn't ask much to her from her.
Yeah,
but
he's a little bit of a pushover, actually.
Yeah, but being a good Punjabi girl, Tani kind of rises to the challenge and fulfills her wifely duties of cleaning the house and cooking.
Yes, not the other wifely duties.
Despite, as we said, she doesn't feel like she will ever truly love him.
Yeah.
While out one day, she sees an advertisement for a dancing competition that's coming to Amritsar. And she asks Shah Rukh Khan if she can participate. He, of course, agrees to.
Well, he just gives her some money so she could do it.
Yeah, yeah, he agrees to it.
Yeah.
And in order to kind of see her while she's happy, he crashes the dancing competition dressed up as his alter ego, Raj.
Mm-hmm. Raj dresses like Om dresses in Om Shanti Om.
Yeah, a little,
He is very into the Christian Ogier, Ed Hardy type look.
He always has a necklace like woven through his neckline of his t-shirt with like a little razor blade on it.
Yeah.
A lot of Ed Hardy and then the razor blade necklace.
Yes, he's kind of every douche bro stereotype rolled into one.
Yes.
You know what it is? It's like Spider-Man 3 where when the symbiote takes over Peter Parker and he pretends to be a cool guy and he goes to a swing club, he dresses in black and he does what he thinks cool guys would do.
Yes.
This is what happens to Shah Rukh.
Yes.
Like it's sort of like he's been taken over by a cool guy symbiote.
Mm-hmm. As coincidence would have it, he gets paired up with Tani as his dance partner, and she doesn't recognize him. He keeps up the ruse, in order to spend time with her, and also because she begins to kind of open up to Raj, even though he seems like a complete, over-the-top...
He's kind of a tool.
Tool.
Yeah.
She starts to warm up to him, and this creates a strange love triangle between, nerdy Shah Rukh Khan...
Cool Shah Rukh Khan.
Cool Shah Rukh Khan and Anushka Sharma.
It makes me wonder what her original intended husband was like. Like, if he dressed like Raj, like, wouldn't that add another layer of sort of sadness that she just likes kind of douchey guys like that?
I don't know.
A nice nerdy guy like Surinder is kind of, outmatched. There was a theory put forth by Asim Birney, I believe, talking to him on Facebook about this, that she does recognize him.
Okay, well...
And if you look at it through that lens, it changes the movie in an interesting way.
I'm going to be honest. I think it's totally reasonable that she doesn't recognize him. Because Shah Rukh Khan is excellent here in these two different roles. They are so distinct from one another. Both in the way they look and the way he carries himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can totally see the Surinder kind of under the Raj. You can see like the performance within the performance.
Yeah.
I think it's not that surprising that she doesn't recognize him. I think it actually works. Like, I don't think you have to suspend your disbelief too much.
Until he uses his, his friends over at the power plant to make a big display in Amritsar of right. how much he loves her. And doesn't she remember, like, hey, my husband works at the power plant?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't put that together. That is
the one where it's just sort of like, you know who might be able to put a sort of scheme together? Your husband.
Yes. This was Anushka Sharma's first film. She's lovely.
She's fantastic in this movie. She doesn't really talk that much in the first half either, because as she's opening up to Raj, she's also opening up to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know much about her at all until probably half an hour into the movie.
Yeah.
She's just stricken with grief and sitting around,
mm-hmm.
right? But she opens up and she's actually kind of a feistier person than he actually realized,
yeah.
I think. And that's the Anushka Sharma personality that we've come to understand afterwards, mm-hmm. but it arrived fully formed.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie is a lot of fun. Like, I think it's a really touching love story. And it reminds me a bit of how Beauty and the Beast. So Beauty and the Beast was originally written to kind of prepare young girls for arranged marriage. And I kind of get a similar thing here, where this situation is realistic. Maybe not the coincidence of, everyone dying on the same day.
You need to marry my daughter. Everyone in her life has just died today. Please take care of this.
Yeah. But have a younger girl finding herself in a relationship like this.
And
having to learn how to love that man.
Yes.
I'm sure not every woman who's ever found herself in a relationship like this has had, someone as kind as mm-hmm. Surinder is. But it's really,
it's not what
sweet.
She signed up for.
And I think you really do see them fall in love with one another on screen.
Well, Surinder's already in the tank for Anushka Sharma from Jump Street.
But once he learns
what she's actually like, though,
yeah.
like during the Doom Machale-esque bike chase, which, delightful, by the way, you find out that she's actually really good at driving motorcycles and didn't know about that. It's nice to learn something about your partner.
And I think this is a real kind of deconstruction of the kind of romantic Shah Rukh Khan hero character.
Mm-hmm.
Both with the, both sides of it. So Surinder is, he's an average guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a love story about an average guy. He's not remarkable in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can kind of relate to him and his kind of nerdiness. This is a regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Raj is kind of this complete stereotype. And mm-hmm. so I do think, he's... Maybe it's not quite a deconstruction, because I guess you get more of the deconstruction with Om Shanti Om and... Yeah, Om Shanti Om, where he's really deconstructing his star persona.
But...
And making fun of... But it's...
His name
it's
is Raj. Like...
Yeah.
The character Raj is composed of Surinder watching movies...
Exactly.
And seeing, oh, that's what a cool Bollywood guy looks like. I'll look like that guy. And he is kind of playing on Shah Rukh Khan's image. Like...
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like Dawn, maybe, or...
But it's a super campy...
Yes.
And it's a self-aware campy.
It's turned up to 11, but yeah.
Yeah.
It is like, here's a cool Bollywood guy.
Yeah.
Whereas Surinder, just a regular guy. And, mm-hmm. Anushka Sharma's playing a regular girl, too.
Mm-hmm. And the songs in this film are wonderful. It was the first Bollywood soundtrack to reach the top 10 album sales for iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
They're so well conceived. So there's a really great song where you know, Raj said it was his birthday and he's taking Anushka Sharma around to a bunch of temples and kind of, you know, really falling in love with her. Mm-hmm. Lovely. There's a really good one of them training for their dance competition.
In Raj's motorcycle garage, which is Surrender's buddy. Surrender, you know what I like about Surrender? Surrender has a lot of friends that care about him and will help him about this. Because he gets the look for Raj from his buddy who runs a salon.
Yeah.
And is very over the top. And then then he's able to get some other friends who run a motorcycle shop to take care of the transportation and give them a place to, you know, work on their moves. Like, Surrender's just a guy who is just well-respected in his community.
Yeah.
And people like him. He's not, you know, he's not especially cool or interesting, but he's just like
mild-mannered.
He's a solid guy that everyone likes.
Yeah.
And he just has a lot of good friends.
Yeah.
Which is not something that is immediately of interest to a romantic partner, but, you know, it's something that works in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. So then we get to, I think, the clear show-stopping number in the film, which is Fear Melenge Chalte Chalte. And this is a tribute to 50 years of Bollywood cinema, and it's what Anushka Sharma is imagining is on screen when she and Surrender are at the movies.
Well, she's getting bored of the movies she's watching, and then Raj shows up as she's bored, and she's thinking about him.
Yes. And so this features Shah Rukh Khan reenacting famous scenes from movies over 50 years.
Or just like the aesthetic of that movie.
Yeah, and the aesthetic of that film. And as different heroes and opposite friendlies, opposite, you know, actresses who show up for cameo scenes, playing famous actresses.
And actresses that he himself has had relationships with in other movies a lot of the time, too.
And who the heroes were in films with.
So
famous Jodies, right?
Well, it's two levels, though, because it's also showing us Shah Rukh's, like, Jodies over the years. And then those women are playing the Jodies of the guy that he is playing.
Exactly.
So it's deconstructing Bollywood fame in two ways.
Yeah. And the lyrics reference famous film titles and lines of the actors that are being portrayed. Like, this is so many layers within layers. So, in order of their appearance, Shah Rukh Khan plays Raj Kapoor, and Kajol plays Nargis. He then plays Devanand, and Bipasha Basu is Sadhana. He then plays Shami Kapoor, and Lara Dutta is Helen, who we saw in Mohabbatein. Then Rajesh Khanna and Preeti Zinta is Sharmila Tagore, and Rishi Kapoor with Rani Mukherjee as Neetu Singh. And Rishi Kapoor and Neetu Singh are Ranbir Kapoor's parents, obviously. And Raj Kapoor from the start of the song is Rishi Kapoor's father.
And Devin and I, we just did an episode on.
Yes.
Everything's connected.
The song is wonderful. It is.
It's a great song.
It is totally an aside in that it has, like, nothing to do with the film. It's just kind of like this.
Apart from it's the thing that Raj keeps saying, like, we'll meet you down the love lane.
Yes. I love that line.
That's the way he says goodbye. Like, don't say goodbye. I'll see you later down the love lane.
No, it's like we are.
We're traveling down the love lane, you and I. It's just a fun way to say goodbye. Just, you know, say goodbye to your friends and family that way. And they're not going to think it's weird. It's just cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We are traveling down the love lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cool way to say goodbye.
Down the road, we will meet again.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're going to watch this video after the episode, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful song sequence.
It's so wonderful. And, yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with the plot of the film, but, you know, that's...
No, I think it does have something to do with the plot of the
film.
You do? Yes.
What?
Because Surrender is acting. The movie is itself about a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is taking that and taking it to the next level.
Oh, like, okay. So thematically, but not narratively, is what I was saying.
No, I think it does have narrative.
Okay.
Because Raj is a creature of Bollywood actors.
Oh.
And he is the latest incarnation of what the Bollywood actor has become.
Right.
Starting from Raj Kapoor and working his way up to the modern day. So, like, it does make sense. It like a good Bollywood song sequence, it, you know, lays bare things that have been going on behind the scenes or behind people's eyes.
Right.
But I think it shows, it both inserts Sharuk into the narrative of here's the great heroes, and then it also shows how he's a meta hero too, right?
Right.
How we were talking about Varun Dhawan and how his movies are always kind of meta films. Mm-hmm. This Sharuk Khan doing the same thing before Varun Dhawan was even around.
So it has both a function kind of in the text and the ur-text.
Yes. Huh. And if you take the idea that Surrender, she knows that he's Surrender right away. This is sort of like
that's
that.
Okay, no. That, no. That, there's nothing to prove that theory. Like, that's not a real theory.
I think it could work.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, it turns into that movie Certified Copy where you have a couple who are, you know, playing games with each other, playing games with the people around them, and, you know.
I don't think that's how we're supposed to read it.
I don't think we're supposed to read it, but I think it's an interpretation you could take.
Yeah, okay, sure. I just don't think it's a valid one. I'm sorry, Ace and Bernie. I just don't agree with you that that's, like, an interesting interpretation of the film.
I think that song sequence is key to the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the whole movie is about putting on personas.
Right.
I mean, she puts on the persona of pretending to be a good wife before she even knows who her husband is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like good works of art, it is somehow always about the creation of the artwork itself.
Mm-hmm.
And traveling down the love lane is, you know, possibly a weird way of saying goodbye, but it is also a commentary on, you know, 100 years of Bollywood romantic tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot going on in this song sequence.
Yeah.
And I think this movie is way smarter than it looks.
Yeah, I mean, you've convinced me. I'm sold.
Great. So about them knowing it about each other right off the hop. I knew that would get you.
I don't think it holds up. I really don't.
Sure.
But
this movie sure does, though.
Yeah, this movie does. Yeah, I was surprised that a lot of
this is one we actually watched about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we watched this one way before starting the podcast, just because we'd heard it was interesting. And
mm-hmm.
one of the earliest Shah Rukh Khan movies we'd seen, and I think probably the first Anushka Sharma movie we'd watched, although Band Bajra Barat, around the same time. But yeah, I've always liked this one, and I would gladly watch it again.
Yeah, I was surprised that it doesn't seem to have a positive reception among the online community that we sometimes talk with.
But my guess would be that this is tied more to the ongoing saga of Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah, maybe.
It seems like a minor work for him.
I think he's so good in this.
He's fantastic. He's a great actor, and I don't think he's given enough credit.
I think he's so good in this. I mean, it is, like, it's a very sweet story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very
It's not an epic masala tale.
No, it's not very challenging. It's not very modern. Like, it's very safe. It's a movie that you can watch with your grandmother.
Apart from the fact that it is a commentary on 100 years of Bollywood romance films, but that's besides the point.
Well, I mean, maybe your grandmother likes Bollywood.
Maybe my grandma does. I don't know.
Point is, it's not edgy in any way.
No.
You know, so it's a little, you know, it seems a little square.
Yes.
But
much like its main character.
Yeah, but it's so well done. And it's just, it's so charming. And I really could believe at the end of this movie that these people have found something in one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really sweet, the sacrifices that both of them make for one another. And that's love. That is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's delightful. Well,
I think it's my favorite of these three, honestly.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I like Beth Grey a lot, but I don't know how well it's going to hold up to repeat of viewing. We're going to go see it again tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So we'll check in maybe later during our year-end megasode.
So yes, Matt, about Befik Ray, a movie that you and I seem to be a lot more positive about than, you know, the rest of the world.
Again, yeah, I guess our tastes have diverged from, you know, the main critical consensus, but we like Befik Ray a lot.
Yes.
I don't think it's just a promotional angle.
No.
Or a France travelogue. I think it's got more going on behind the scenes. Again, like like Robney Bonadi-Jodi. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something we're missing in Mohabbatein. There's always something in the background of an Aditya Chopra film that's commenting on Bollywood movies itself. And maybe we're supposed to take something from the passing on of the angry young man from Amitabh Bachchan to Shah Rukh Khan or something. Maybe there's some resonance that we're not getting there. But
Mohabbatein's just overstuffed.
Yeah. But Beth Grey came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Features Ranveer Singh and Vani Kapoor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vani Kapoor was previously in Shah Desi Romance.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Wonderful movie. Mm-hmm. And it is about two people who meet each other in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me see if I can remember the details off the top of my head. Ranveer Singh is a stand-up comedian mm-hmm. who's brought to Paris to work at the Bombay Belly Bar?
Something like that.
And he, you know, goes on every night and does a set, talks about his life. And, you know, there's a lot more
people. Belly.
The Deli Belly.
Deli Belly.
The Deli Belly Bar. Yeah, right. And there's a lot more people in Paris who are interested in this performance than I figured they were, because he has a very, very well-off existence. But he meets Vani Kapoor,
mm-hmm.
who is a tour guide who he is instantly smitten with.
Yes, she is of Indian descent, but grew up in Paris, so she's French.
Yeah, she considers herself French. She was raised French. And this story of their love affair is told to us in a fractured timeline where at the very beginning of the movie, we see the end of their relationship. We see them breaking up and then we flash back to them meeting. Mm-hmm. And the movie jumps between the current timeline and the past timeline for the first half, mostly. For the first half, you see their relationship developing and then also their post-relationship, how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun way of doing it, I thought.
Yeah.
Their
big thing is that they don't want to fall in love.
Yes, they. As a student of Gurukul, Ranveer Singh knows that falling in love with a lady is the way to ruin everything.
Well, no, it's Vani Kapoor that is really resistant to the love
That's
angle.
True. Yeah, she went to Gurukul, or that one that the girls were at next door to Gurukul, which presumably had very similar rules.
Well, I don't know. No, Helen seems all for the girls.
Okay.
She was a rebel at
Helen's school who liked the strict discipline of Gurukul. Also, we know she grew up in France, so it's complete bullshit anyway.
Yeah.
But
so they have a modern live-in relationship. They
sort of like ours.
So yeah, sort of like ours. Not interested in getting serious, not interested in falling in love, because once you do that, things get complicated. But their wild ways, you know, eventually drive them apart.
They like doing dares. Mm-hmm. In fact, in order to go on a date with her the first time ever, she says, I'll go on a date with you if you slap that cop in the face right now.
No. Oh, yes.
Yeah, because he sneaks away onto one of her tours.
Yeah.
And he won't leave her alone.
But then there's also, when they first meet, she dares him to a chicken wing eating contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so
she's daring him to do stuff left and right, and he can't.
For those of you keeping score,
no.
For those of you keeping score at home, learning how to eat a lot of chicken wings will score a girl like Vani Kapoor. It's a good skill to have.
Yes. But, you know, they can't deny, you know, their connection to one another, and so they try and be close friends, and
it's
a
terrible
idea.
Again,
they can't deny their connection to one another. So
much like every single situation that this has ever happened in, you can't be friends with your ex.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. This film is certainly not, you know, rewriting the romance genre,
mm-hmm.
but it's a lot of fun. And it plays it to a T.
Mm-hmm.
In true Bollywood fashion, it kind of goes further than you're ever expecting.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy this. I think a lot of it rests on the shoulders of Ranveer Singh and Vani Kapoor. Like,
yeah.
Everyone knows I'm in the tank for Ranveer Singh. He's the best. Also, you see his bum in this.
Very briefly, but yeah. Don't blink during the part where they're on the yacht. That's what I'll say.
I am shocked. I am scandalized.
And that's why we're going again.
Oh my God. Yeah, so he's wonderful. But Vani Kapoor, like, really holds her own. It gets a strong personality like Ranveer Singh. And
she has to do the emotional heavy lifting for most of the movie.
I didn't know she had this in her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I really like Shah Desi Romance and I think she's great in it, but she doesn't have to show this kind of energy and spark and vitality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she feels like a very modern girl, who, you know, like, is more interested in, you know, the pursuit of fun than she is in anything else. But also, you know, like, has a lot of layers to her. You know, she's not just this kind of manic pixie dream girl party girl. And that's tough to do. It's like, it's tough to kind of hold.
I mean, Anushka Sharma couldn't even pull it off. And very similar film idea to Hi Mushkill.
Yeah.
Just saying. Like Beth Grey better. I think they have a lot in common.
Yes. I really like the Anushka Sharma performance in Adelheim Mushkill. I think it's the movie that fails Anushka Sharma, to be perfectly honest.
But there's a lot in common between these two movies because they are what you would consider rich people, basically. You know, living in a foreign locale and having a love affair. But in one movie, you have a man-child who just can't get over the fact that someone was not in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
In the other one, you have a man-child who sort of gets over it. He's as possessive and weird about it as Ranbir Kapoor
is. He's pretty comfortable in his man-childness.
And he's also pretty comfortable. I mean, he's able to date other girls and stuff. Like, he's not completely obsessed with her.
No.
It's not as creepy.
No.
But yeah, there's a strong thematic through line between both those movies.
And the songs in this are great.
The songs in this are better than Adelheim Mushkill, I think. And it also comes with the fact that you're not supposed to believe that the main character is the tortured soul doing this.
No.
You know, the songs are just part of his life, as opposed to, my soul is breaking. I couldn't make music before I'd had absolute sadness before.
Yeah.
This is a much better version of that story, I think.
I don't think they're as similar as you do, but we'll get into that in another episode.
Well, in our year-end megasode.
Yeah, I don't think they're as similar. I mean, they're coming out around the same time, and sure, there's some overlap in audience and expectations, but I don't think the narratives are as similar as you're making them out to be. I think they're different movies with different things on their mind. But here I think the songs are wonderful. There's this great kind of street club sequence when they first meet, that just, like, you know, you see that instant immediate connection between the two of them, the energy. There's one during their when kind of they're established their relationship about all the dares and stuff that they get up to, this crazy wild couple. There's another really good one about them being friends. And then an amazing sequence where...
Two times.
Yeah, where Ranbir Singh is, or Vani Kapoor is remembering, you know, conversation that they had about not falling in love when, you know, they're realizing that actually they are in love with that person.
Yeah, it's a great dance scene.
Where their younger selves dance around their older selves.
Mm-hmm. And Vani Kapoor is wearing a shirt that says carbs on it, which I know you're very taken by.
I really want this carbs shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I again, it's not reinventing the genre in any way.
I don't think it's as significant a work as the other three, really.
No.
The other three Aditya Chopra movies. This one.
Do you think this is commenting on Bollywood in any way?
Well, it could possibly comment on the sort of tenacious way in which Bollywood heroes approach their intended romantic others. But I think Adelheim Mushkill does that a bit more.
Yeah.
This one.
Dharam is really, like, he's really comfortable with who he is here.
He's comfortable with who he is, but he never falls out of love with her.
No.
And even though he hooks up with another girl at some point, like, it's all kind of just to get back at her.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in Adelheim Mushkill, too. But I think, yeah, it's not really a commentary on the film system as a whole. I think Paris looks amazing in this movie.
Yeah.
I've been there once, and this movie made me want to go back.
Yeah.
I found some of the most cinematic parts of the city. It, you know, it kind of turns into, you know, Bollywood Jules et Jim, let's say.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Have you seen Jules et Jim?
A long time ago.
She kills them all.
I did not remember that. Okay, you're right.
Jean Moreau, like, pits these two best friends against each other, and then they, like, all die spectacularly.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking of a different movie.
It's about, like, the femme fatale.
Bon Appart? What was I thinking of?
I don't know, but that's also, like, three people.
Yeah. Well, you know, there more people enter the romantic
But it's scene not it's not film. That French energy is what you're saying.
Yes.
You know, you feel like there's kind of like a modern new wave feeling to it.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I think there is a new wave feel to it. You know, not so much jump cuts and stuff, but it is interesting that
just young love in Paris.
I don't think this movie is made for NRIs, for instance.
Right.
It happens to feature Indian people who all live in a foreign locale, but I don't think it, like in DDLJ, you know they're going to go back to India at some point.
Right.
And it's a travelogue up to this point. This one, France looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Paris looks great. And then when they go down to Cannes later on and everyone is super rich and awesome, like this is, you know, extremely goals.
This movie looks really expensive.
Yeah.
Like really expensive.
That car that the banker has, probably 80 grand.
Well, and there's some really virtuoso shots.
Especially on this yacht. Yeah, yes. There's some really good stuff there.
Yeah, and I think...
I'm thinking specifically of the picture of Ranveer Singh's ass.
Obviously. I mean,
that's the virtuoso shot you're talking about, right?
Obviously. Well, I mean, both from kind of like a like a money perspective where you're just like, you're looking at the place that they're filming and kind of the grand expanse of the landscape. But also, the first shot in the film where you see them break up is kind of all in one take, and that's it's really well done. Like this
we should
movie,
talk about the first shot in this film, though.
Oh, right.
Which is a shot across the bow at the sort of prudish Indian censorship, I would say.
Yeah, it opens with a song of couples kissing all around Paris. Yeah, so much kissing.
Different kinds of couples, and yeah, if. There probably is a record for amount of time spent kissing in Bollywood films. This one has shattered that.
Yeah.
Because many, many, many people kiss a lot.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen more same-sex couples in that opening, but it's really charming. I do really like it.
Mm-hmm. I think they're skirting controversy already with that many people
kissing. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then you get this breakup scene, which is done kind of in this one shot. And it's so well done. And you know what I love about this movie is it's just like they feel like a modern couple. Like they kind of take things a little too far because it's a movie and it's supposed to be larger than life. But like they feel like a modern couple. And I like how you kind of take this journey with them from kind of naive, childish romance to genuine kind of anguish and then deep connection.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I think it does with the ending. There is a wedding later on in the film, and the movie becomes pretty fucking cheeseball for about 15 minutes as people freak out at the wedding. And then the ending is...
I like the last shot.
The last shot is good, but yeah, I don't know. It reminded me of the ending of Shandar, possibly. Just, they couldn't figure out end the movie satisfactory, I don't think. Because... it has to go into some slapsticky fight choreography and stuff,
right.
Which is completely out of place with the rest of the movie.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. But then, like the final shot
is, yes, it has thematic resonance. Yeah, let's say,
and then it's got a really good song during the closing credits.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So overall, we're positive about this film.
Yeah, we're positive about Aditya Chopra.
We enjoy,
and
it.
We don't. Beth Gray is great. Don't listen to the bad reviews. If you want a good romance story, go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just fun sometimes to watch beautiful people in beautiful locations, like falling in and out of love.
Yeah. That's one of the many pleasures of films, is seeing something you can't do happen.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Vani Kapoor in more now.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's an excellent dancer.
She's really good.
And she looks great. Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. We will be back in the new year. We're not entirely sure when our next episode will be out. We will get back to our 2-week schedule in the new year. But
we're going on vacation for a while in January too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We have my birthday and Christmas and New Year's, and then we're going to be on vacation for a little while. So we're going to eventually get our new episode out in the new year, and then we'll get back on our 2-week schedule.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
Well, you can follow it on Twitter at Bollywood Pod. You can follow both of us on Twitter. I'm at Matt_BOWES.
I'm at Erinie Fraser, E-R-I-N-E, F-R-A-S-E-R.
You can also find the Bollywood Is for Lovers Tumblr at bollywoodisforlovers.tumblr.com. You could find the Facebook group. Just look up Bollywood Is for Lovers there. You can find the show at Audioboom, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and just find the RSS feed and plug it into your podcast catcher of choice.
And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. We read out our reviews on air. It really helps new people find the show. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.